Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
The action last night, two teams go up 2-0. The Nets, 130-108 over the Celtics, and it's 3-2-1 Cancun for the Celtics, it feels like. As the Nets are just, 130 points in a
Cancun
playoff game.
Nice right now.
It does. Dallas goes up 2-0. They put up 127 points on the Clippers. Where's the defense? As that series now goes back to Dallas with the Mavericks up 2-0 and the Clippers facing all kinds of controversy. The Lakers, they win their game, they even their series as that series moves to L.A. And tonight, again, more games to discuss. But, again, on the Clipper conversation, right, they lose again. Now, Kawhi has a huge first half. Kawhi finishes
30.
With 41.
30 in the first half.
30 in the first half, so really gets a lot of it, the bulk of it done there. Paul George goes for 28. They score 121 points. And yet they're talking about how exactly like you need more offense from other people. No, you need better defense from everybody. And then you have Tyronn Lue, who's the head coach this year, who makes a comment that I found curious. Now again, Tyronn Lue's not a dumb man. All right, he's a smart guy. He knows what he's saying. I need to know why he would say something like this.
I'm not concerned. Like I said, they got to win four games, and you know you come in on a opposing team's floor and you play, there's no pressure on you to make shots because you're supposed to, you know, you just try to come in and steal a game or steal two games, but now they got to go home and try to keep up the same shooting. So it's easy to come on a road and do that when there's no pressure on you. So we'll see in game three.
He said, steal a game or steal two games. Give me that number again when someone steals two games.
Somebody steal a game.
So no, he said a game or two games. I'm telling Alan, give me that number when a team steals two games. What happens?
When you win the first two
yes.
games?
Yes.
Yeah, you basically win the series 87% of the time.
Wow.
So if you win in the 87% of the time, in other words, yes, there's a chance, but then let's be realistic. There's probably not a chance because you lost those two games at home. Now you got to go on a road to Dallas in Texas, mind you. Mm-hmm. It's going to be capacity. It's going to be filled up, and if your shooting was superb at 50% in that stadium at Staples, what is it going to be at home?
Well, I'm not saying that hot shooting from the three-point line is going to carry over to home. The question is, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George both played their tails off, right? Like, Kawhi had 41, mm-hmm. and then Paul George had 28.
And it wasn't enough.
Like, that's the problem.
You can't talk about how other guys have to step up. This is going to be about defense.
Yes.
More than anything. And as
Absolutely.
The series goes on, as we said now, it's 87% that you win the series, which means Dallas. There's only four teams that ever come back down 0-2 when they're going on the road down 0-2 to ever come back and win a best of seven. And we'll discuss Kawhi and what it might mean for his future going forward here. But first on Tyronn Lue, 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's take Courtney in Florida. Courtney.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right.
What's up, Court?
Nothing much. Hey, I just had a question about Ty Lue and basically what he thinks about being down 2-0. I believe him, to be honest, because you got to think about it. He was with the Cavs and was going against arguably the best basketball team in Golden State with a 73 record and knocked them off being down 3-1. So, in other words, I believe exactly what he says. I'm just wanting to get you guys' take on, you know, my question.
So, Corey, I would answer your question by saying this. I can feel that way when I have LeBron James on my team because LeBron James is going to galvanize my squad. That's my question I have for the Clippers. I hear what Ty Lue is saying, mm-hmm. but he was brought in to galvanize his squad because there was a problem that didn't translate to the court. There was nobody on the court that can galvanize his team together. That's not Paul George. He's quiet. He's a little bit quiet. Kawhi is definitely quiet. That doesn't really come from Patrick Beverley.
Rondo was the guy they brought in to be sort of a leader there, but instead he's sniping with teammates.
Rondo's personality might clash a little bit because Rondo wants you to react back with him. You know what I mean? Rondo wants to see fire from you.
Yeah,
if he can't get
demand,
that from
yeah.
you, then like, and I don't know if guys look at Rondo like that on that team. I'm not sure.
Not only did they have LeBron when they came back, but there also was some issues on Golden State side.
Draymond
yep. being right. Pushed ejected, out of the game, yep. ejected, and Steph getting hurt. So it's a little, you know.
Yeah, some things have to work in your favor.
Some things got to work in your favor, but 87% doesn't sound like that is positive in your favor.
What about for Kawhi Leonard? And I know it's still two more games that Dallas has to win for this to become a conversation, but still, they get knocked out in the first round after purposely losing. And yeah, they set this up so they would avoid having to play the Lakers, you know, to play the Mavericks instead. And that ends up right now looking like a terrible decision. But what does he do? I mean, he's got the player option. Nothing has been done yet for his future with the Clippers. Is it at all possible that Kawhi Leonard could decide this ain't working here? I got to go somewhere where they're not demanding me to be the leader that I'm not. I'm more of the lead by example, like in Toronto. Toronto won a championship with him as their best player, but not him as their room. You say galvanizer. He wasn't that. He just made big plays. They had other people to do that, Kyle Lowry. So what does Kawhi Leonard, what should he think after a season like this and after his first 2 years with the Clippers?
Can we put him on other teams? Can we put him on Golden State? Sure, we can play the hypothetical all day long, but the answer to your question is no.
Yeah,
he can't go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
You cannot go anywhere.
Do you know
what will happen to your reputation?
You had
you
me
leave.
Come here
exactly.
From OKC to mess with you. You and I helped run a coach out of here. Like, why would no?
You left San Antonio. You had issues with San Antonio. Fine. You win a championship in Toronto. You don't want to stay in Toronto. You come out here to Clipper organization. Commercials are made about you as the king of LA.
Mm-hmm.
You're the guy. It's your team. You bring Paul George in. Your team is built for it.
Yeah.
Okay. You go through the first round of playoffs in the bubble, by the way. I could make a case for what's happening to the Miami Heat, and I love the Miami Heat, but the bubble was a completely different experience. If anything, it should have been easier to play to a degree. I take that back, actually, because I know Paul George, yeah, reverse. Paul George is dealing with depression issues, things of that sort.
Yeah.
I get it. I take all that back. All I'm saying is that you don't have crowds. You don't have that kind of stuff. You get rid of your head coach, Doc Rivers.
They had me leave.
Like, literally, there was
sit next to me.
There was a ploy there. Nah, he's not the guy. Get him out of here. You got your guy now. Now you're telling me after you got your guy, after you got rid of the last guy, you came to L.A., and now it's not enough, then you decide to leave?
Isn't it interesting that Kawhi
doesn't get
a lot of criticism, does he?
No, he does not. You
really
can't go anywhere.
Criticizes him.
Well, because
he doesn't say anything.
The only thing you get the criticism about is the load management stuff. That's really pretty much it. I mean,
But when do you look at him, or do we just accept the fact that you're a great player, but you're not a leader?
Well, that's already been the case, though.
You accept that.
But that's not a bad thing. That's not his personality.
Right.
He's not – that's just not his personality.
Right, but when you have a guy like that, of that talent, then you need to make sure that on that roster you have somebody who is that.
Yes,
alpha.
And that's not his responsibility. That's the front office and the head coach to make sure.
He picked Paul George.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that he picked Paul George to be that, like, voice. He just picked Paul George as a player
right.
that he can mesh with and ball with and win games with. Doesn't mean he's looking for the screamer and the yeller or whatever it is that can energize the team.
That's why I really wish they had brought CP3 in. I know he was there, and I know he had issues with Doc, but you made that change.
Well, Doc left.
I know. Yeah. That's why CP3 would have been the answer for that team.
That would have been a real interesting.
That would have been the answer. You bring him back home, let him retire there, let him do his thing. He would have been the leader that this team needs.
But again, is that personality going to mix with somebody like Kawhi who might not want
that? But you're not going to come at Kawhi like that.
Is everybody else?
If you CP3, you already know I can't approach him because that's not who he is.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
I don't care about the Clippers anyway.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Let's go to David in Brooklyn. Go ahead, David.
Hey, how you doing, guys, man? Appreciate you taking the call. Keyshawn, love you, man. I'm a longtime Jets fan, so this is like an honor to be able to chat with y'all. When Kawhi came.
David, he left you guys. I just want you to know, like, all the love.
He left us
you.
And won a Super Bowl, and like we were in the dust.
He doesn't care about the Jets franchise.
He's got a ring, and
he's using it for marketing.
David.
Being in New York, I helped
David
my money.
I'm in New York. I'm number one pick.
David, I did not ask
to
leave. I did not ask to leave.
I know that.
Publicly.
I'm 30, so I'm old enough to remember Keyshawn playing, man. And that was some good memories from when I was little.
Appreciate it. Thank you. No, he's 8 years old.
Yeah.
But I remember when Kawhi came to the Clippers. I'm not a Clippers fan, by the way, but I remember when he came to the Clippers and he brought on Paul George, and I heard a lot of trash talk. I heard a lot of rah-rah and a lot of all this bravado, and I was hearing this a lot, that the Clippers have five dogs. That's all I heard. They have five dogs. Mm. Now, I can't seem to find any canines on that team. I just seem to find just a lot of cats. There's no defense. They can't close out games. They wanted to act big and bad like they wanted the Mavs. No, last year was not an outlier that they could beat the Mavs. Last year proved that the Mavs would have taken that series to seven games if Porzingis didn't go out with injury. Now, a year later, you got Luka with much more confidence, and he's giving buckets to everybody. It doesn't matter who they put on him. Patrick Beverley, the Morris twin, the other Morris twin without the ring, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, it doesn't matter. And I just find it completely hilarious because I've never seen a team accomplish nothing, clamor for so much attention and respect and implode like this.
Yeah, that was all about the Lakers, though. That's really what that was about, trying to – grab L.A. at a point in time when the Lakers were seemingly down.
Yeah,
that was all the campaigning and at Staples Center. You didn't go, you hadn't been, but right as you walked through Staples Center, they put up the huge Kawhi on just the L.A. King, all that other. Yeah. So it was like, okay, we get it. We understand where you're trying to get the new stadium in Inglewood. We understand that, but it's still the Clippers, and now, I'll continue to say that.
He will get annihilated by the media constantly. But the reality is, if Kawhi was to leave the Clippers and go to Golden State.
Yeah, Golden State's
in
the mix.
Oh, my God.
Now,
in that system with Steph and with Klay coming back,
that's
the system for him.
Yeah. But now he's ring chasing, though, right?
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. So he would get crucified to a degree by the media because we would say that's exactly what it is. But Kawhi always strikes me like he doesn't care what the media says.
No,
he doesn't care what people say. Kawhi always wants to do what Kawhi wants to do. And if Kawhi wants to do that, like that's one option. That's Golden State, man.
Because
it's Steph's team. Kawhi gets – it was Kyle Lowry's team. Now, Kawhi got the shine. It's Kyle Lowry's team. San Antonio, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker's team, Manu Ginobili. He was the piece that came in, scored, defended. Right? I know. But, like, that could be another – trio that we could see, and that system with Steve Kerr, with the way Kawhi plays, problems.
I mean, it would be cool if he went there, but problems. I don't think he would want to ring chase, though, right? Because if he wanted to ring chase, he could have just came around the corner to the other locker room.
Not LeBron, though.
Because we
don't put Kawhi against Stephen Curry.
Okay.
We put Kawhi against LeBron. Like, sides, position, how they play. Kawhi always defends LeBron. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we don't talk about, when Steph got locked down by Kawhi, Steph is different, man. It's different. Like, so it doesn't feel like there's that same energy flow, like, I got to beat you or run through you. Still feel like Kawhi always is going to have to run through LeBron.
Now, again, remember, L.A. is sort of hometown, right?
Yeah.
For Kawhi. That's one of the reasons why he went
there.
He
actually lives in San Diego, though.
Yeah, he's up the road.
Used to take a helicopter back to practice every single day.
Yeah, so it's close enough to call it home. So it's hard to believe he would then just go ahead and abandon it. But, you know, L.A., the Clippers really have been, you know, the second team in L.A. They're not the most popular team, but they've had a good run of success for a long time since before when they were really known as the Clippers, when they were just always god awful. Like, they have been a much better franchise, especially with Steve Ballmer. Here in New York, it's Brooklyn has been that second team popularity-wise to the Knicks, but they are by far the talented team now that might not be getting all the attention in the first round because the Knicks are in the first round, but once the Knicks are out of the way, they become the team that everybody's watching. They are must-watch. They are box office must-watch. And now their series with the Celtics moves to Boston. And for Kyrie Irving, it starts to now become not just for him taking on the Celtics, but also for him returning to Boston, where he played for them and there were issues on his way out. And there were also issues with him in that Boston market. And Kyrie, talking about now after going up 2-0 in their series, talked about some things that he just doesn't want to hear or see when they play in Boston.
I mean, it's not my first time being an opponent in Boston. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to competing with my teammates, and you know, hopefully we could just keep it strictly basketball. You know, there's no belligerence or any racism going on, subtle racism and people yelling from the crowd. But even if it is, it's part of the nature of the game, and we're just going to focus on what we can control.
Is it something you've experienced in Boston before?
I'm not the only one that could attest to this.
So, I mean, he's almost, and I'm not saying setting it, but it's sort of like the preface before we go to Boston. This is what I don't want to see and don't want to hear. Setting it up to almost keep us heightened or make us pay a little more attention to it in game three. The Celtics might not have much resistance for the Nets, but as we know, that is a fan base that is loud and proud. And in a game three, you know, you lose that game, the series is over. I mean, feel like the series is already over. Yeah, I already feel that way.
It's a wrap anyway.
But you can't imagine the Celtics fans are going to go there and just be passive. They're going to let Kyrie hear it.
As they should. That's a sign of respect. That's number one.
But to what degree?
Well, I'm not talking about all the other stuff, the racism and the bigotry and the hate. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the booing.
Yeah, that's a lot.
You left there. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. When you start diving into that other stuff, it's too many times, clearly, man, is a problem in that area. Because it's too many athletes from too many different sports.
It's referenced a lot.
That is always, and they're not just picking on Boston, right? I mean, I've always had a wonderful time up there when I've gone. The fans have always treated me well. I've never heard them disrespect me in that, you know, in that manner. But that doesn't mean that they're not doing it. There's so even some of their own players that have played on some of those teams in Boston have said these things. So, you know, you know it's there. Let's not act oblivious like we don't know that it's there, because clearly it's there.
Yeah, I've had conversations with friends and, you know, doing deep dives on stuff like this. And, you know, they would sometimes say, you know, Boston is probably like one of the most racist sports cities that there was. From ex-players I've heard talk, right? They don't feel that way when they go to other places. But they hear those kind of things that are being said in chants or individual fans that come there and feel like that's an environment that's good for it. I think Kyrie brings up a really big thing. And it's – you know, if it's Cam Newton, I know we talked about that for a little bit. Yep. It was a different scenario, but
I said that's a different scenario. No, I would say the Cam Newton is more like the coded language that you gotta kind of I see what you're talking about now. I see what you're doing.
If you like that kind of stuff with the sneakers, right? That kind of thing. Yeah.
And I like Boston, man. I go up to Boston. I got friends and family in Boston. Go up there, but I mean, when you play as a sports person, it's different, man. It's different. It's different. Some of the things fans say to you there are different than other places.
Why does Kyrie bring this up before they
probably
even go
was
up there?
Somebody asked him a question. I don't think he just brought it up.
It was just about going back, going up to Boston. That's all it was. And he said, "This is I just don't want, you know, like, don't want to have any of that stuff go on."
I know, for him
to bring it up means it's definitely
things have happened to Kyrie that Kyrie has not shared in Boston. Or you can leave it at that.
You can leave it at that.
Things have happened. Him as a player there.
And I'm sure.
Does that also now create, though, saying it now creates, like, we're talking about it, right? Obviously, yes. Then media will talk about it. Yes. Obviously, maybe even the league, maybe even security is a little more heightened about it. Like, let's make sure this doesn't happen.
Well, you can't really stop it from happening.
Yeah, I was about to say, what is security going to do for somebody screaming something?
Grab somebody and throw them out right away.
If you hear them.
If you're more aware.
He didn't say that. Did you hear him say that? No, did he say? I didn't hear him. Did you? I mean, like. Are they really going to go that?
I think it's just bringing more attention to sometimes what happens in places where they don't really – those things don't become the headlines.
That's probably that. Kyrie, and I'm with Jay. I think he's bringing attention to it so that you are aware that as we are taking the court, these things could potentially happen.
By the way, he's been doing that with all of his press conferences, by the way. You noticed that, right? Been talking about the Palestinians and things that have been happening.
Yeah,
he's been talking about a lot of different things other than basketball.
Right.
To do that.
He's
to
using
attention.
That opportunity to speak up about different things that are going on in the world. That's right. And he has that right to do it.
Yeah, because we're going to talk about basketball anyway.
Even the league has said that. Look, it's not that, you know, you don't have to talk basketball. You just need to be available. That's just part of the deal. So if you're available, you can talk about whatever you want. And I've always said that. Like, you don't have to answer the question. You really don't. I can ask it, and you can just go on a completely other place. But you satisfied
but
the fact that you responded to the question.
Yeah, because he's putting that message out there.
But that's interesting that he would bring it up and almost put it out there like, hey, everybody, this is going on. Pay attention to it.
I don't find it interesting at all, because if I've experienced that, then I certainly want you to know that I've experienced that. And that is something that I think you should know.
Can I bring up one other point?
Yeah.
He's really good, though, by the way, just in case.
Talent-wise?
Just in case. So I call him
the
Wizard,
man. I call him like he's the Picasso of the NBA.
Yeah, on the court, one of my favorite people.
I love him, though. I don't care how what people think about his mind.
Doesn't matter. On the court?
That dude is good, man.
When he's on his toes?
It's just, you know, a couple years ago, and granted, a lot of things happened off the court, but Kyrie was the scapegoat for Boston. Was a scapegoat for the Celtics.
It's true.
Major,
he was
out of
reason,
here.
Right.
He's not what we like. He's the reason holding us back.
Yep.
What's happening, Boston?
Yeah, nothing's like,
what's up
changed
with your team?
There
nothing.
Since he left.
So, like, that's no
Remember,
longer.
Kemba came in. It's like, oh, see, he's more guys more like Kemba, but Kemba couldn't stay healthy. And it just – and what happened was, okay, so then Kemba can't be who you wanted him to be, but the locker room is – we talk about the Clippers and their problems, how they don't really have a soul. Did the Celtics have a soul? Do they have a soul as a team? Does that make sense what I'm saying? A team has a soul. You just kind of like feel it. Like there's something – it's their collective whatever they're made of, the stuff they're made of, and I don't know if they have it.
Can you keep Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum together?
That's the big question that Danny
That's
Ainge
a
has
legit question that I know media tries to veer off. Like, well, because they're the two pillars and fans go crazy about it.
Yeah.
And you know, we're going to have Perk on to kind of talk about that next second. But like, that's a – like, who's number one, who's number two? I think of Jason Tatum, but a lot of people will say Jaylen Brown. Like, it turns into, like, a really big thing there.
Well, what value, what the max value you can get for either player that can help you rebuild, you know, rebuild that roster.
It's so crazy in basketball because it's like, how many damn different changes and combinations you go try?
Oh, this is going to be the summer.
It's like, but every time you look up, they try a different combination.
Well, you got to keep the core together, and that core is Brown, Tatum, Smart, and Stevens.
This is going to be the summer. Like, what's happening with the NFL, what just happened with so much movement, we're going to see a ton
no,
of
No, I get it, but how many
summer.
You really? Drafted these guys, you signed these guys to make it work. You're the ones who did this, and now it doesn't work. Blow it up again.
Player's fault, always. So we'll ask someone. We mentioned Kendrick Perkins. Spent nearly a decade in Boston, so he would have a lot of answers about this and more about the NBA, and that's coming up next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Hey, it's Greeny, and the NBA playoffs rolling on. We're starting to figure out who the legit contenders are and which teams are headed home early. We'll be talking about it with me, it's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
LeBron around a pick from Anthony Davis. Three by LeBron. Good! And that could be it. 103-94, 45 seconds remaining in the game.
And that was the dagger by LeBron as the Lakers beat the Suns 109-102, game two, to tie their series at one. You heard it on ESPN LA 710. LeBron finished with 23 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, and that huge three you just heard about in the final minute. Anthony Davis, a bounce-back game for him, 34 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 blocks. That's following his 13-point performance in Game 1. The Nets take a 2-0 lead in their series with the Celtics. 130-108 is the win for them. The 130 points that Brooklyn scored, second most in team playoff history. Second. Got to find out what number one is. The Nets 5-0 all-time when they take a 2-0 series lead. Kevin Durant, 106 career 25-point playoff game. That passes Jerry West with sixth most in postseason history. Knicks forward Julius Randle named NBA's most improved player, 98% of the votes. Yankees starter Corey Kluber, he left the start with shoulder tightness just a couple of games after a no-hitter. He is now having issues with his shoulder in a loss to Toronto. The two-time Cy Young winner was 4-0 with an ERA under 2 over his 5 starts preceding the injury. SportsCenter brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Proud to serve members of the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Our members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org.
What was it like being a part of a playoff atmosphere?
That was incredible. Yeah, the bad game
put a meal up. Hey! Intensity is another level.
Feel it in the air that it's playoff time.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So we talk about the Nets taking a 2-0 series lead, but it also means that the Boston Celtics are down 0-2 as they head back to Boston. It just don't look like a team that is able to compete against this Brooklyn team. Not many teams are going to be. But to discuss that and all things Boston, including this series, let's bring in Kendrick Perkins, our ESPN NBA analyst, who joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Perk, good morning. Before we get into what Kyrie Irving said, I just want to ask you your thoughts on just what the Celtics looked like in these first two games against Brooklyn. Was it more just how good the Nets are, or is there still something seriously missing from the Celtics' compete level?
I mean, the Celtics look like they're ready to go on vacation. I mean, this is how they started the series, and it goes back to Brad Stevens' comments before the series when he was praising the Brooklyn Nets. And I said that the Celtics are in trouble because they don't believe that they can compete or win. Like, we all know that the Brooklyn Nets have the better personnel. I picked the Brooklyn Nets to win the series in 5, but I thought the Celtics were going to come out with some type of pride, some type of heart, some type of tenacity, intensity or something, right? You're not getting that from Jason Tatum. You're not getting it from Kemba Walker. I mean, they're sleepwalking. They're playing with no pace whatsoever. So it's like watching them play is like it's disturbing. I would have rather see they really wasting everyone's time. I would have rather see the Indiana Pacers or the Charlotte Hornets playing in this series. They will probably get beat, but at least they will make it a competitive game and show some type of heart.
Big Perk, after the win in game 2 for the Nets, Kyrie Irving was at the podium, and he made some comments about Boston and about some of the feelings he had for when he played there. I want you to take a listen, then I want you to react on the opposite side.
I mean, it's not my first time being an opponent in Boston. I'm just looking forward to competing with my teammates. And, hopefully we can just keep it strictly basketball. You know, there's no belligerence or any racism going on, subtle racism and people yelling from the crowd. But even if it is, it's part of the nature of the game, and we're just going to focus on what we can control.
Is it something you've experienced in Boston before?
I'm not the only one that could attest to this.
Perk?
You know what? My question is why? Like, we're having phenomenal basketball being played right now in the NBA playoffs. Like, people are loving to turn on the TV and actually watch the NBA. And why even start that narrative? I just don't get it sometimes with Kyrie. Like, you know, always switching the focus to something that nobody even was talking about. And by the way, I lived and played in Boston for 8.5 years, right? And me personally, I never experienced racism in Boston. I heard a lot of things before I got there, but when I got there, I actually was treated pretty damn good. To be honest, hell, I experienced more racism in my hometown area than I did in Boston, in Southeast Texas, where they had James Byrd Jr., an African-American male that was drugged from the back of the truck by two white Americans. Where in a predominant white area, a teenage African-American young man was found dead, shot dead on the railroad tracks, and nobody knows nothing. Like, at the end of the day, man, why try to mess up or why even come with that type of stuff right now when we're watching beautiful basketball being played, competitive basketball? Like, come on, Kyrie, man. Like, and look.
Can I just say something to you on this one, though? Because the timing of it is interesting, but Kyrie has used the platform of post-pressers to talk about some of the things that are happening in the country or in the world that we don't really talk about. So just to play devil's advocate to what you're saying a little bit, I get what you're saying. I just want to see guys play basketball too, but I think that's the point of why Kyrie brings some of these subject matters up, because he wants to say, hey, there are other things that are actually happening other than just us playing basketball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Jay, to be honest with you, what's been happening in Boston? Have we been hearing about African-Americans being killed by cops in Boston? Have we been hearing about that?
I hear you.
I'm just saying, like, if Kyrie was, if he was going to Charlotte, would he have made them same comments? That's my question. No. Like, just because you're going back to Boston and you know how you left Boston, you didn't leave in great fashion, and you know that fans are going to be hostile and they're going to be at you because of y'all breakup, this is what you come to, right? That's all I'm saying. Did you just hear what they were screaming in Madison Square Garden at Trae Young, right? Did you hear what they were yelling at him? It wasn't racism, but I mean, it was pretty crazy that they were screaming F you, Trae Young, chanting that throughout the arena, but it's part of the game, right? Trae Young embraced that with open arms and went in there and got a win in great fashion with the game winner. I'm just saying, Jay, like at the end of the day, like, my thing is this. It's a lot going on in the world today, and I get that, and I'm not taking away from that. I'm not taking away from what Kyrie does in the community and how much he gives back and how much he's involved for us in social justice. I'm not saying that. But it was your return to Boston. And then Kyrie is on record saying, while playing in Boston, he's never experienced racism. So at the end of the day, it just seemed like something to move the goalposts to take the pressure off of him. So, like, when he does go back to Boston, it could be on high alert or people won't just, like, no, man, like, let's just hoop. And I'm not saying take away from what's going on in the world, but he just tried to switch the narrative. Mm-hmm.
You talked about pressure just a minute ago with Kyrie and switching the narrative. Is the pressure on the Suns, and what type of trouble are they in since dropping that one last night to us?
Well, Key, listen, they it's no pressure on the Suns because no one really predicted them to win this series. I know I didn't. I mean, Anthony Davis and LeBron James are still the best duo in the damn game today, all right, since Kobe and Shaq. And we saw this same story last year where they lost game one to the Portland Trailblazers. And what happened? Gentlemen sweep. They lost game one to the Houston Rockets. And what happened? Gentlemen sweep. We know when these two guys elevate their game, they're going to win games. So it's no pressure on the Suns. The Lakers are just that good. Defensively, it's no other team in the league that is better than the Los Angeles Lakers. Think about this. The first, second, and third quarter, they held the Phoenix Suns under 25 points in today's game. And they would have did it in the fourth quarter if Caldwell Pope and Dennis Schroeder didn't pick up them dumb fouls fouling Devin Booker while he was shooting threes. Like, just think about how stellar their defense is. And when I look at the Los Angeles Lakers, this is why they should be the heavy favorite to coming out of the Western Conference. They're just that good on both ends of the floor.
Perk, the other LA team, though, the Clippers, find themselves now going on the road down 0-2 in their series. I feel like that team is lacking something, and I know that Rajon Rondo was brought in there to try to provide some leadership, but there's something going on with that group. If you played on that team, if you were in that locker room, what would you be saying and doing right now?
Well, first of all, let me tell you, what the thing that's lacking is heart, okay? They're front runners, all right? And I'm going to tell you why. Give you two incidents. One, when Kawhi Leonard dunked on Maxi Kleber, you remember all of them ran, two of the guys ran and went mug Maxi Kleber and posed, and they were celebrating. Oh, everything was all good then. But when Luka started tearing them up in game one and they found themselves down and had a little bit of adversity, you don't see that same type of energy. That's a front runner. Okay, look at game two last night. Paul George comes down the lane. He breaks up.
Made him fall. Porzingis.
Yeah, and dunks the basketball. You see the guys come in off the bench, on the baseline, and they're laughing, like making a scene of it, like laughing at them and pointing at them, right? Everything was all fine and dandy. But when it got to the fourth quarter, and they didn't know what the hell to do with Luka Doncic when they tried to put Kawhi on him, he burned him up. When they tried to put Pat Bev on him, he burned him up. They tried to put Paul George on him. He burned them up. At the end of the day, Luka is playing daddy ball with them. The same thing I do in the driveway with my son. I can't move that good, but I'm going to take you to the paint, and I'm going to give you this work. And that's what he's doing right now. And he's talking noise behind me.
He is. He's telling Pat Beverly he's too small for him. He's got.
Call him Daddy Luka.
Yeah,
that's what they need to call him.
You're seeing that meme, by the way. You bring that up. You're seeing that on Twitter right now. They're showing Luka with different pictures of either Kawhi or Paul George and is like holding him in his arms. So that's what's going on, and they've got to face that now on the road in Dallas. Perk, great to talk to you. Thanks as always.
Thanks, Big Perk.
I appreciate it, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Kendrick Perkins on the Goodyear Hotline coming up. Call the Roulette Plus. So Key says jersey numbers matter. So how would a quarterback look in a linebacker's number, and what does it say about him in the organization? That's after Jay has this from Indeed.
The reasons to find your next hire with Indeed are starting to add up. Just look at the numbers. Instant Match searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database to deliver candidates whose resumes fit your job description. They have 135 skills tests that go beyond the resume to help you find the right candidates faster. And according to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined. So, if you want to multiply your employees and subtract the hassles of finding them, visit Indeed.com/credit. Indeed.com/credit.
It's time for Caller Roulette.
You know the rules. Don't ask us how we are.
We're good.
I don't want to hear any of that.
Get in, say your name, and make your point, and ask the question.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. And don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Especially you, Line 5.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience.
The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
What are you singing? You like this song?
No, it just feels like I'm like walking into a hotel lobby.
This music
and I'm lost.
Is definitely like a little lobby bar.
I'm lost, and I'm looking for my kids that ran off to the restroom, and the guy's holding my bags, and he's looking at me like, "Did I get the key to give him the extra tip?"
This is lobby bar, rocks glass. You know, mid afternoon.
It's that friend. Too, though. I'm walking in a hotel lobby. This is kind
what
of
song
what
is this
is.
By the way? Who? I don't know. Is there a song? We gotta find out. Like who?
Little jazzy,
yeah. Feels like a Frank Sinatra type of
yeah,
story.
That's
what I mean.
It's a long day. It's 5:36. Right. I got to untie it.
Down here a little bit.
Bill Hahn comes in. Hey, Bill, come sit down.
Bill Hahn is my uncle.
Dressed up, having a martini, just watching. Cocktail hour.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
like, keeping it classy.
Whatever you choose to have by the piano bar, you know.
Hello. John, hey. haven't seen you at the club lately. Bill, hey.
Keyshawn, over here.
Make sure to send me those taxes.
And then it's the bartender that's been there since like the 60s.
Forever.
Yeah. He still worked there. Red.
Yeah, that's Red, his name. Right. Red. He's got like that kind of a name, right? His name is Red. Has to
Everybody
be Red.
Knows him. And the lady who sits there, who lives upstairs.
Smells like cigarette smoke. Always goes outside for the cigarettes.
She lives upstairs above the hotel.
She be working team like, oh, there she goes again.
All right, we got to spin the wheel.
Oh, God.
Sit on another one this week.
I've been in New York too long.
Way too long.
Let's spin this wheel. Come on. Let's go.
Where do you live? Upper East Side.
It's not topic roulette. Line one.
I just want to know if the tables were turned and Rodgers went to the Bucs, do you think that he'd be capable of winning the Super Bowl?
All right. Let's try that again with the phone by your ear, by your mouth this time.
Oh, you couldn't hear me. Sorry.
Yeah.
I said if the rules were changed and Brady wasn't in the league and Rodgers went to the Bucs, do you think he'd have a Super Bowl victory with them instead of the Packers?
If Rodgers was on the Bucs, would they go to the Super Bowl? Is that what he's saying?
Instead of
Brady going to Tampa, let's say Rodgers goes to Tampa.
Yes, and Aaron Rodgers on Tampa. Yeah.
They still win the Super Bowl.
I think they would.
It was all about the 30 interceptions.
It was the defense that was insane.
Yes. Yeah, it's the 30 interceptions.
No, but I'm saying to win the Super Bowl, though.
No, that held them back. It was the 30 Jameis Winston interceptions. Tom Brady sliced that thing down to, I want to say, a third.
Yeah, I'm with that.
Right?
Aaron Rodgers would have won that.
Okay.
He sliced that thing to a third.
Aaron Rodgers could have potentially won this one or gotten close.
And then again, for James' sanity, Patrick Mahomes didn't really have his offensive line.
You could say that Rodgers might have won it too, getting to the Super Bowl against
the offensive line. No, a win is a win is a win. I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm just saying.
Okay.
But you just did.
Let's spin it.
I'm just trying to give it up.
The wheel, that is. Line three.
Jeff, North Carolina.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
Hey. To me, anybody like Kyrie that's getting paid millions of dollars should have nothing to say about what they hear from the fans.
Really?
Hold on, man.
Hold on. Now, I'm going to stop you in your tracks.
You're from North Carolina. That's my state.
On.
Don't do that.
If somebody is screaming racial slurs at you, you shouldn't say anything because you're making some money?
Hey, I mean, you shouldn't think about anything coming from outside of the court. When you're getting paid that money, you play on the floor. That's where your focus should be.
So you're, if you're at your job and you're getting paid a lot of money at your job,
that's fine with me.
You're getting paid a lot of money at your job. If somebody says to you at your job, they call you a racial name, that doesn't, that wouldn't bother you. You just like, well, I'm getting paid a lot of money. That's not going to affect me.
I never said that, but.
Well, that's the same thing.
That's what Kyrie's talking about, buddy. Did you even hear what Kyrie is saying? Or you just think he's complaining because he's a spoiled athlete that makes a whole bunch of money, so he should just shut up and dribble? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I never said he should shut up and dribble, but his focus should be on the court, not what he's hearing from the fans.
So his focus should be on the court, not what he's hearing from the fans.
Can I just tell you, Michael Jordan interacted with the fans all the time. I mean,
we're not talking about Michael Jordan. We're talking about Kyrie.
No, I know, my brother. Listen to me, man. I'm just trying to give you an example of somebody who's been on the court. You can sit there and say that your focus should never be on the fans, but there's a lot of low moments and dull moments where you interact with fans and you hear fans.
And fans say things that will get your attention. Right, so I'm not supposed to.
We're stopping it here.
I'm not supposed. No, we're not stopping.
No, I'm
it
saying
here.
We're stopping the caller roulette thing here because that's such
ridiculous.
That's such a terribly misinformed
take. Like just
take,
because,
but he, I think it's also was terribly given what he was. What he thought he was suggesting was that this is, you know, you should just be locked in on the game and not what fans are saying, but that's not a realistic take
that's
whatsoever.
Not reality.
It's an awful take. By
if you
want
to, if you want to say things like "f you" to me, if you want to talk trash about my. Fine. Yeah. Do whatever.
Yeah, you can do all of that.
There's a certain line that sometimes gets crossed.
It's two things.
It's crazy,
that I
man.
Say, don't ever do. Don't put your damn hands on me, and don't call me out my name with no racial slur. Because at that point in time, when you do that, you are looking to create problems not only for yourself, but anybody else around you when you do those sort of things. Mm-hmm. You can tell me all day long I suck. You tell me I'm the worst, I'm a bust, You can do it all day long. Don't put your damn hands on me and don't call me on my name.
By the way, I mean, I'm not saying it makes it right. I mean, but Ron Artest, like.
Don't do that, man.
Stuff pops off when people say things sometimes. Don't think that there can't be reaction off your reaction.
Can we end this on a funny note?
We're going to always end on a funny note.
So, Bill? Mac Jones was at OTAs. He's wearing number 50. He's a quarterback wearing number 50. This is what Bill Belichick does, though, to his rookies.
He has to earn it.
You have to, right. You don't get your actual number until before the preseason begins. But it just looks so, if you look at it right now, it looks so strange.
Well, I mean, he looks like
wearing number. Like, you are a big guy on numbers. What does he look like wearing 50?
He just looked like a guy that's looking to take a photo op in a Patriot uniform.
He just, any jersey he can grab.
Just any guy coming up the street?
Yeah. Just bizarre. Be a guy.
Like, here, hon, take this picture real quick. Look, I'm going to be a quarterback, but you're wearing 50, Dad. Ah, it doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Goofy-looking number.
Except Keyshawn.
He'll wear 10, though, probably.